Good evening, class. This is our spiritual authority class, and lesson one going to begin our subject. Our scripture going to be Romans 13:1. And turn your Bible there, but before you turn there, I want to define one of the main words in our lesson is authority. And write this down, take good notes. If you take good notes in this class, you'll do good. What is authority? The first thing it is the power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. It's also the power to give orders or to make decisions. It's the power of right to direct or control someone or something. Well, in this aspect of authority, that's the general definition of authority, but we're talking about the authority of God. And it goes further beyond Webster dictionary on authority. And our lesson will explain it because you're going to see the difference between authority listed in human understanding and when authority is listed in spiritual understanding concerning God. So the first thing y'all need to put on your notes, begin this lesson, is that God's throne is established on authority. God's throne is established on authority. And let me give you one idea of how my test is going to be worked. One statement is going to be said, how is God's throne established? Well, simply, it's established on authority. So I just give an answer to one of my test questions. Okay, so take this down. For God's authority represents God himself, whereas his power stands only for his act. God's authority represents God himself, whereas his power stands only for his act. What that statement needs to be explained a little bit, but let's use the scripture to explain it. So with that thought in mind, I want you to turn to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1 and 3. Look what it says, Hebrews 1 and 3. And I want you to understand it. It says, who being the brightness of his glory. Brightness of whose glory? The brightness of God's glory. And who is he talking about? Jesus is who's the writer talking about. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. Jesus, I always used to wonder, what was God like? Never seen God, but we did see Jesus in the scriptures, and Jesus is the revealed person of God, and Hebrews prove it, who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. Jesus is the very image of God. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Matter of fact, he told his disciples in the 14th chapter of John, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus expressed God's image. And upholding, now this is the point I want you to get to, and upholding all things, read this with me, class, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So that scripture is going to let us know that Jesus is the authority and he upholds all things by his power of his word or the word of his power. So, statement number one. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority. Now, with that being said, I want to give you a clear understanding of what that statement means, sin against power. At this point here, we're talking about in power, according to Hebrews 1 and 3, that he upholds all things by the word of his power. We were talking about he upholds all things by the word that Jesus spoke was the power of God, and words releases God's power, which in reality releases God's authority. But authority and power is two different things. That's what the class we're trying to clarify right now. Authority is one thing, and God's power is another thing. God's power, spoken through his word, is the release of God's authority. I want you to understand that. God's power is released. God's authority, is released through his power, which is his word. So sin against power, or sin against God's word, or sin against God's commandment, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, honor thy father and thy mother, and so on and so forth. Anything God, Jesus spoke in the word becomes his commandment, the word. So sin against God's commandment, living right, doing what's right, is more easily forgiven than sin against authority. Now, what's authority? Authority is God himself. When you sin against authority, you sin against God himself. That's where rebellion comes in. And that's the clarity I want you to understand. So sin against God's word, or which is an act against God's word, God forgive it. Matter of fact, 1 John 1 and 9 says, if you confess your sins, that's what he's talking about, he is faithful to forgive you for your sins and cleanse you from what? All unrighteousness. That's sin against God's power. It's more easily forgiven. But when you sin against rebellion, when you sin against authority, it's a principle of rebellion. And as we go on further, you're going to find out it's a satanic principle that we sin against. It's a principle that kicks Satan out of his rightful place from his creation. So that's the seriousness of this matter here. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority. And I want you to understand that very clearly, because you're going to understand, you're going to be seeing this again. Sin against power is more easily forgiven against sin against authority, because sin against authority is sinning against God himself. I'm trying to make it as simple and as plain as I can, all right? So we find out what authority is. Authority is power to influence or command, power to direct or control. Okay, so you with me so far, class? I don't want to lose you, but I want to take my time with this class, and this mainly the introduction, because we're going to go into the mechanics of it as we go on through the class. So just give me a moment here, and we're going to go on a little further here. Okay, now, write this down here in your notes. God's throne is established on his authority. God established his throne. What is his throne right now? His throne is everything that the kingdom stands on. The kingdom itself is established on God's authority. What is that? On who God is. God's kingdom is established on the principle of who God is. The acts of God issue from his throne, and his throne is established on his authority. All things, listen to me, class, all things created through God's authority and all physical laws of the universe are maintained by his authority. That's Hebrews 1 and 3. I'm going to read Hebrews 1 and 3 again. And listen to me, we're going to put it all together. I'm going to read the B part of that Hebrews 1 and 3, starting at upholding. Read this with me. And upholding all things by the word of his power, and our instructor in his book, Brother Watchman Nee, he brings on a little further, upholding all things by the word of his power, he added, of his authority. The word of his power, of his authority. Like I said, his power here represents the release of his ability. So Jesus, when he created the heaven and the earth, the sun, the moon, the earth, the stars, everything in creation is upheld by God's word. by the word of creation, by the word of his power, of his authority, which is the word releasing God's authority. Well, how did God release authority? Jesus said, let there be light. And the Bible said, there was light. And so there was a release of God's authority through the power of his word, or the word of his power. I want you to catch on to this class, because we're going to find out authority is a tremendous thing. And so when you tread upon the principle of rebellion, you're coming against God, and you're coming against all that God is and all who God is. And like Gamaliel told the men that wanted to persecute Peter and them in the book of Acts, he said, be careful what you do to these men, because you might find yourself fighting against God. Oh, what a terrible thing it is to find yourself fighting against God. But yet the church does it all the time, not even understanding that when they speak, this is the point I'm trying to get to. When you speak rebellious words, speak against authority or God's, what we call God's men or God's delegate authority, those that God has placed in position of authority, they'll delegate authority. When you speak against them, guess what? We're going to find out we're speaking against God himself. So you can find yourself fighting against God, fighting against God's servant. And so that's why we got to be careful. This lesson is not to bombard you with fear, but we're trying to put you in the place of reverence for God and for his servants, and to show you how God's kingdom works, and to show you that how God manifests himself in his earth realm, where he can establish his kingdom upon the earth. Authority establishes God's kingdom upon the earth. He needs to see that. So he upholds all things by the word of his power, which means upholding all things by the word of his power, of his authority. For God's authority represents God himself, whereas his power stands only for his act. I'm going to read the statement again. Sin against power is more easily forgiven than sin against authority, because the latter is a sin against God himself. I want you to drive that in. I want you to take that home with you. I want you to hide that in your heart and put it on your mind, that when you sin against authority, you sin against God himself. But yet the church doesn't understand clearly that rebellious words that's spoken against God's delegated authority also speaking against God. And we can go through example after example after example. When the children of Israel came against Moses, and they say, Moses, you left out here in the wilderness to die? And they rebelled against him, and they murmured against him, and then they didn't realize that they were fighting against God himself. And Moses had to stand. God told Moses, stand back one time. Because you let Moses know, Moses, you know, they're not against you, they're against me. So whenever we speak wrong, contrarily, ignorantly about God's authority, we're speaking directly against God himself. And whoa, let this lesson burn your heart so God can advance you and God can continue blessing you with the mission that he put on your heart, and to take the kingdom of God and run with it in your heart and do the work of ministry. Authority is a tremendous thing in the universe. Nothing overshadows it. It's therefore imperative for us to know. It's imperative for us who desire to serve God to know, and I'm going to add this word, and understand authority. Now, before we can go a lesson deeper into the lesson understanding authority, we have to go a little further in understanding the origin of Satan. Why? Because rebellion, we're going to find out, opposes all authority. And rebellion was first, how would I say this? Rebellion was first brought to the earth realm by a satanic force, which created a satanic principle, Satan himself. So we're going to find out just what happened and how he turned into the archangel the archangel turned into Satan over in, we're going to begin in Isaiah 14 chapter. So turn your Bible with me to Isaiah 14, and we're going to look and see just what happened in the beginning that caused Satan's heart to be turned against God, and God turning heart against Satan. So, Isaiah 14, we're going to begin with verse 12. 12 to 15. And I want you to read this with me, because I'm trying to get this into your heart. The 12 verse begins, says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did wickedness the nation? For thou hast said in thy," what? "In thy heart." See, the apostle has been teaching on the working and the understanding of the soul. We find out that the heart is interchangeable, or another word for the soul of man, the mental part of man, the reasoning part of man. And if you don't watch it, Satan operates through your reasoning and through your understanding. He want to bring misunderstanding. So Satan said this in his heart. Lucifer said this in his heart. And this what really began to incubate rebellion. This began to birth. Everybody say birth. This began to birth rebellion, because you're not born with a rebellious heart. Rebellion is the satanic influence. You see it? So I want you to know, he said in his heart. And everywhere you see the word "I" in this 13th verse, I want you to circle it or underline it. This is what he said. "I will." See, "I will" is the word, or it's a phrase that take you off and make you think you're doing things yourself, or make you think you have done things yourself. So "I will" was a dangerous word right here. So look what he said. "I will do" what? "Ascend into heaven." Now this is Satan talking. This is one of God's creation. The creation is talking to the creator. My goodness, this is dangerous. "I will ascend into heaven," and underline his next "I." "I will exalt." Whoa, he had a throne. God had already exalted him, but he got proud. He got proud in his exaltation. See, sometimes exaltation, sometimes promotion, sometimes God takes. God is slow to promote sometimes, because your heart has to be proven. If your heart not proven, what's going to happen is you're going to be lifted up in pride. Be lifted up in pride. And pride comes before the fall, the scriptures say. So sometimes you can be promoted too fast, and we use the old saying, it can go to your head. And what happened is you can think yourself more, according to Romans 12 and 3, than you ought to be. And God can't use you if you think you're more than you ought to be. You're not trusting and submitting yourself to him. You're thinking you're doing it. And this Satan said, "I will," I'm going to start over again, "I will ascend to heaven." The next thing says, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." My goodness. Another thing he said was, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation." See, that was God played. God stood in the midst of the congregation. And he trying to take God's place. Sometimes you don't watch it. In your words, you think you're taking God's place. God didn't give you a gift. God didn't use you a few times to do supernatural things. And all of a sudden, you think you're the healer. You think you're the one getting people healed. You think you're the one causing people to do great things. No, it's not you, but the Spirit of God that in a person that uses you. Stay small in your own eyes. And he said, I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And then the 14th verse, he's still underlined this, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. My goodness. And this the one that got him. That was the old saying, you give a person enough rope to hang themselves, Satan hung himself. My point is, just don't hang yourself. Just permit God to teach you and train you through the apostolic, through our apostle teaching you in the school, and us as delegate teaching you to walk humbly before God and never think yourself more highly than you ought to. He said, but I will be like the Most High, God. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. And war, that word war means war unto you when you think you're more than you ought to be. Now, this particular passage here, we're going to go to another passage in Ezekiel, but this particular passage here deals with him violating God himself, God's authority. Now, the second passage, we're going to see yourself violating the acts of God, which is all his power, coming against his power, which we say was his commandment. Or God coming against God's holiness. Let me read a little bit. The first passage, though, lays stress on how Satan violated God's authority, while the second passage going to emphasize his trespassing against God's holiness. To offend God's authority, listen close now, is a rebellion far more serious than that of offending God's holiness. That's a great difference here, and I want you to see it, and you need to see it. Since it is a matter of conduct, what's the matter of conduct? Holiness. It's a matter of your living, of your lifestyle. You see, your fruit of the Spirit, walking in love, treating people right, just being honest about yourself and about others. And that's dealing with the conduct and holiness. And you can offend God's holiness by living wrongly and doing things that despise God and doing things against your brother, and that's despising God's holiness. So sinning, more easily forgiven than rebellion. The latter being a matter of principle. And Satan's intent of setting his throne above the throne of God was the thing which violated God's authority. It was the principle of self-exaltation. Now, that's why I kept using the word, tell you, underline, I will. I think at least five times he kept saying, I will, I will, I will, I will. And began to put himself in the position of God, like he was doing things and had the authority to do things upon himself. Always remember that you are dependent upon God. Always remember that if you are a delegated authority, you're dependent upon your delegated authority as he delegated himself to God. You can't do nothing, even in ministry. And that's what we're going to get to. In ministry, you have to submit yourself to your spiritual leaders, because you can't say, I will, in another man's ministry. I will. No, you're coming against God's authority. No, you're promoting yourself. You're thinking yourself more highly than you ought to think. No, that's a humbling factor here, and there's a submissiveness that we have to contain and maintain in our hearts at all times, and be always conscious of the fact that whenever we're in a ministry or whatever, that we're under the principle of submission. I'm always submitted. Always got a submitted mind. Always got a submitted heart. Always operate in a submitted attitude. And one of the main questions you can ask yourself, I don't care what surroundings you go in, I don't care what what church you're in, I don't care what, I'm trying to find the right word here. Always have the attitude, who's in authority? It could be the world, the church, or your home. That three, I call that the three phases of the three spheres of this system, the world system. You got the world system you got to deal with on your job, going out to the bank, going to the store. In the world system, that's a system of government. Then there's a government within the church, and then there's a government at home. But all three of those spheres of government, one of the questions you got to ask yourself all the time, who's in authority that I may submit? Always keep yourself in a submissive attitude. You know why? Because when you do that, God can exalt you anytime. God can anoint you anytime, anywhere, anytime. As long as you submit it, God can put his anointing upon you to do whatever needs to be done. Remember I said that. All right, so it's a matter, or it's the principle of self-exaltation. The act of sinning was not the cause of Satan's fall. No. If the act of sinning would have been our cause of falling from grace, then we would have fell a long time ago. Because a lot of times we sin, but God gave us 1 John 1:9. But you're not talking about sin here as in coming against holiness or sin against power, God's word, God's command. He's talking about sinning against God himself, which is sinning against authority. No, it wasn't that. It was what we're about to say here. You see, it was the act. The act of sinning was but the product of his rebellion against authority. And indeed, when you rebel, that's the act that break the camel's back. Hey, are you with me? It was the rebellion which God condemned. You mean God could have forgive Lucifer if he wouldn't rebel against him? But his heart was not right. And he kept saying things in his heart. I got a question for you. What you been saying in your heart that nobody heard physically? You might have been in your private moments, in your private time, in your private thoughts. You may have said some things. We're going to find out with Miriam that Miriam spoke against her brother Moses, and the Bible said God heard. Was God present? God's everywhere all the time. So whenever you're speaking rebellious word, something against authority, the Bible said God give ear. I think God gives a special ear to a rebellious word because they're not sound words. They're words that stir God up in the wrong way. They're words that God has to judge. And God always judges rebellious word. Sin he'll forgive when you repent. But rebellious words that goes without repentance, God had to judge it. And let me answer this question. Why you say, you see, a lot of time people don't repent from their rebellious words because a lot of time rebellious word become justified. What do you mean, teacher? Sometimes we'll always find a reason to say why we say this or thought why we thought that because they're justifiable in our own mind. And so a lot of times things that seem justifiable, you don't have a tendency not to repent about it. Are you with me? And so unrepented sin leads to judgment. You might want to write that down too. And so let's go on a little bit. So this Satanic principle caused Satan to fall and God had to judge him. But I say let's go to Ezekiel and see what this other principle here that we're going to deal with. Ezekiel 28, beginning at verse 13. Ezekiel 28, verse 13. Give me a second to find it. 28 and 13. This dealing with God's holiness, I said. All right, here it is. And we're talking about Lucifer still. Thou hast been in Eden, in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of the tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherubim. This is all who Satan was that covered. See, and this was pride. See, God had exalted him, and so he thought his exaltation, He thought his exaltation made him equal. My goodness, where are you going, teacher? Sometimes when God exalts us, sometimes we think we're equal those that have pioneered the way. No, you're not equal. No, you're not. And it leads to pride, and pride leads to the fall. Okay? These are the things. He said all these things God set upon him. He said, and thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. See, that was coming against God's holiness. And when you came against God's holiness, guess what it led to? It led to a rebellious spirit to rise up in him, and that pride came upon him, and then he began to say some things and speak some things that was in his heart that produced rebellion against God. And it caused him his ministry. Don't let it cost you your ministry. And let me tell you something about causing you your ministry. Sometimes we've experienced so much. Sometimes people get disgruntled and they get rebellious and they leave ministry thinking they still have ministry. They might have it in the physical, but spiritually they've been cut off and don't know it. They think they still got it, but they still don't. We've seen many come and go, and they think they still have it, but they don't. They try to get things started. They try to make things work. For some reason, it don't work because they're operating under a satanic principle. And until they repent and get things right with their spiritual leader, they'll never be able to get one foot in front of the other spiritually. It's because God got to deal with them. Amen? All right, I just thought I'd bring that out. It had nothing to do with my lesson today, but it seemed like a good place to throw that in. All right, so that chapter, 20th chapter Ezekiel, is what brought about the understanding to me about how Satan was used, and it led to the principle of self-exaltation. All right, so listen to this statement: how very wicked for us to assume that we are doing the work of the Lord. What do you mean? Operating the principle of rebellion. So sometimes people, they think they're doing the work of the Lord. Listen to this. In serving God, we must not violate authorities, because to do so is the principle of Satan. We're talking about spiritual authority right now. Well, see, we're not getting right now into the mechanics of it. They're just introduction to let you know where this lesson is directed, what you're about to have imparted to you in this class. In class, I want you to pay close attention, because this class, some of the information we're going to talk about is going to make the difference between life and death in ministry. in your personal life, in your ministerial life, and you want to make sure that you walk this thing out right and fulfill your purpose in ministry. You always want to fulfill your call. One of my main prayers, Lord, let me fulfill the call you put upon my life. Let me carry out your will in my life. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. And so I pray the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane for my personal life. And I think it's a good prayer for you to pray when it comes to this understanding of authority. So we must not violate authority, because to do so is a principle of Satan. And listen to this now. How can we preach Christ according to Satan's principle? That's a good question. See, some people are preaching Christ right now, this very moment as we talk. They're preaching Christ according to the principle of Satan. What's it? Say, Reverend Gautreaux, how can that be? How can it be somebody preach Christ according to Satan's principle? He said, is it possible in our work to stand with Christ in doctrine? That's the preaching of the word of God. And some people are eloquent. Dynamic preaching of the doctrine of Christ. And get people emotionally involved in it. And you think it's the work of God. How very wicked is for them. They can preach. They can stand in their work with Christ in doctrine, while at the same time stand with Satan in principle. How very wicked for us to assume that we are doing the work of the Lord. See, it's you think you're doing the work of the Lord, but in reality, you're not. Excuse me. In reality, you're not, because what happens is, you on one hand, you think you're doing the will of God, but if you're operating the principle of rebellion, And you've got out there and rebelled, and then you left a ministry because you got dysfunctional, because you want to make yourself something you wasn't. I'm trying to say something quick in a hurry, but then you leave, and then you think you're trying to get things. You think you're trying to get something started on your own, and then you think everything is working because you're preaching the word of God, and you might have a few chill bumps here and there, and a few people might fall out. And so, you know, because your preaching seems so good, turn with me to the 7th chapter of Matthew, and that's going to answer this question. I'm almost done. 7th chapter of Matthew, we're just trying to get the introduction done. And so I'll let you know where we're going with this lesson. And see, put your seatbelts on, because sometimes the ride might get a little shaky. Matthew 7, and I just want you to see this scripture here. This scripture answers a question for me, because sometimes people think they're doing the same thing. They got a few members here. See, I don't mean to go all the way over there, but sometimes you think it's happening. Look at the 21st verse, Matthew 7:21. Listen at what Jesus said is in red. He said, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And listen to this 22nd verse. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? I mean, listen to what you're saying. And in thy name have cast out devils. My goodness. God, you mean you can prophesy? Yes, you can prophesy. Yes, you can still cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Now, see, yeah, the question I had with this, how can you do that? You see, when the word preached, God can bless his word. But the spirit behind which you preach is what God condemned. You see it? God used a donkey one time to preach his word, to talk to this man who wouldn't listen. Kept bumping his leg against the rocks, this prophet. And then that 23rd verse, I'm going to close on this. 23rd verse says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from iniquity. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I want to let you know, This is the same iniquity that Ezekiel, that in Ezekiel, the Lord found in Satan, the sin of iniquity. Their heart wasn't right. Their heart got mixed up, and the heart was corrupted within their heart. So, class, I want you to read this chapter, the importance of authority and understanding authority, and I'll meet you on next Monday. God bless you.